Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender, what you have to do to get 500 MZTV shows in the can? Well, it's simple. You just do one show 5 days a week for 2 years continuously without missing a show, without missing a day, skipping an opportunity to broadcast to the Saints. That's all it takes. Yes, you too can do it. Just takes a little application. Okay, it takes a lot of application. And the next thing you know, well, years later, no, it's not easy, folks. Greetings, Martin Zender, show 500. I will acknowledge it for, 30 seconds. Then I move on because I'm going to start the next 500. Yeah, that's what it happens here. I just keep plodding along. People come, people go. You have been with me for years. I just keep plodding along. It's so interesting. I've noticed that as far as support goes, or as far as people who like me go, I find that it's the world that goes like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down. Even some, not you, even some members of the body of Christ, they're with you, they're not with you, they're with you, they're not with you. They go here, they go there. Old Zender just goes like this, just steady, 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 steady. It's a gift, I guess. I guess it's a gift. Martin, are you going to do anything special for your 500th MZTV broadcast? No, just the usual brilliance. Well, yes, I take that back. I'm going to have a shot of Jack Daniels. Yeah, the common man's whiskey at 6:05 a.m. Breakfast of Champions. I'll remind you at this time that I have 800 shows on the Book of Revelation. You will find that at my homepage, martinzender.com. Scroll down. Just scroll, man. Scroll, baby. Scroll, scroll, scroll. There's enough stuff on my website, free, to last you years. You would have to binge, watch and binge, listen. 800 shows on the Revelation series. I got 151 shows on a series called Return to Zender. You'll find that on the left side. Click that. Oh, they all come scrolling up. They're all great. By the grace of God, of course. And then we have the Crack of Dawn Report. 85 videos on that. Secrets in Daniel. 50 shows on that. I have some conference appearances out there, conference talks. So just scroll through it. I have a total of 1,800 videos on YouTube since, 2012, something like that. Just stating the facts here for you. A total of 1.8 million views. I do it the hard way. 1.8 million views. I have to do it with 1,800 videos. Some people, they can take a video of their cat licking its ass, put it up, and get 1.8 million views on one video because everybody wants to see a cat licking its ass. Not that many people are interested in God. So as far as audios go, I got like over 400 audios. The Martin Zender, Dan Sheridan Show, the all-new Martin Zender, Dan Sheridan Show, which doesn't star Dan Sheridan, just me. I mean, it goes on. And I got probably 400 newsletters out there, so I don't know how many. I don't count those. I happen to see the stats on YouTube here. So, all right, that's all I'm going to do. That's it. You've gotten the whole thing. Woohoo! Thank you for watching. Just starting in on the next 500. I like MZTV. I'll probably not change the format unless, there's a popular demand. Let's go on here. So I'm in Romans chapter 10. Thanks for watching. Thanks for your support. I need it. This is a grassroots operation. You get this material free. The only way I can do it free is because there are generous people who contribute to the work. Unforced contributions, of course. I don't demand payment. I don't demand a price here. It's all free to you by the grace of those upon whose heart God has put it to help now. Romans chapter 10. Paul's about to throw the nations a bone here, and I love it, because he's embarked on a dissertation concerning Israel. Of course, Paul loves Israel because these are his brothers and sisters according to flesh. But while he's doing this in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he is not forgetting to address the nations. And he's going to give them something really sweet here. What Paul's going to do is tell the nations. Now, this might freak you out at first, but let me explain. He's going to tell the nations. I'm going to explain this. I'm going to tell the nations that it was in God's mind and heart, even through the old Israel processes, the law, it was in God's mind and heart to vex Israel, to basically torture his favorite nation with those who are not a people, with weirdos, with goofballs. That is, God is hinting that he is going to one day go to non-Israelites in a remarkable way. It's just a whisper of it. It's just a hint. It's found in the prophets. Paul has this as a recourse to those who think, to those of Israel who thought Paul was completely nuts and a rebel, an anarchist, a man untrue to his own tribes. Lest that be thought of Paul, he has recourse in the scripture. He can say, well, look what Isaiah said. Yeah, look what Moses said in Deuteronomy. So he has these quotes that says here, well, we're going to find out what it says momentarily. Okay, so we left off yesterday, according as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. And I mentioned to you how humble the feet are. This is the method God uses to bring the truth to people. It's awkward. It's slow. It's vexatious. It's oftentimes disappointing. But nevertheless, this is what God does. I don't think any of us will know for sure how many people we've reached until we're standing at the dais of Christ, and it will be revealed to us the work that we did that is now hidden from us, that if we knew it, we would tend maybe to get puffed up. I don't know. There's no chance of me getting puffed up, honestly. Honestly, I dare you to puff me up because, well, you know, many of us have been wrecked in so many ways, have been humbled in so many ways, that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God operating in us to will and to work. It is not. I joke earlier about another brilliant show. You know, that's just my shtick. I know it's God all the way, of course. So now, Paul says, but not all obey the evangel. Obey is to remember, to hear and to heed, to underhear. It's to hear it, H-E-A-R. For Isaiah is saying, oh, so now Paul is not talking about the evangel, his evangel, the evangel of the grace of God. You might think he's starting that way, not all obey the evangel. But then he says, for Isaiah is saying, so he's about to quote Isaiah, so he's talking about those who did not hear the Israel evangel. And as you know, there's a difference. Isaiah is saying, Lord, who believes our tidings? I'm just going to comment on that. One simple phrase, Lord, who believes our tidings? This is Isaiah, the great prophet, the famous prophet, who in chapter 53 is inspired to prophesy concerning the coming of Christ. This guy had inside information via the Spirit of God. And he laments, and Elijah laments. We're going to find that out in Romans 11. Have you not perceived, I'm skipping ahead to Romans 11:2, but look at this. Elijah had the same problem. Have you not perceived in Elijah what the scripture is saying as he is pleading with God against Israel? Lord, the prophets they kill, the altars they dig down. I was left alone and they are seeking my soul. I'm alone. I'm left alone. Nobody gets it. Isaiah, Lord, who believes our tidings? Isaiah goes out, prophesies. People like spit on him, throw rocks at him. I don't know what they do. They write nasty editorials about him in the Jerusalem Post. I don't know what's happening, but it's discouraging. So you need to know that you're in good company. You're in company with Isaiah. You're in company with Elijah. When you tell people about this, they're not interested. They don't want to hear it. You send them a video. You send them a link to an article. They go, yeah, I want to see a cat licking its ass. Do you have that? Yeah, they don't want this. People are not interested in God. Period. Period. People are not interested in God. It is a miraculous operation of God to make people interested in God. Jesus himself, our Messiah, is like, I spread out my arms all day long to contrary people, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it. Who believes our tidings? Consequently, Paul says in verse 17, faith is out of tidings, yet tidings through a declaration of Christ. Now, a tiding is a heralding that has been received. Paul says earlier in verse 14, how should they be hearing apart from one heralding? So the herald just puts it out. That's a one-way street. But tiding in the Greek means hearing. So a tiding is something that has gone forth. It is a herald heralding, and it is a hearer hearing. Who believes our tidings? Consequently, faith is out of tidings, yet the tidings through a declaration of Christ. This is all based. I'm going to get to the meat is coming up. This is just a preliminary. I know. Here it comes. Get wait. Just wait. Get ready. Now, faith is out of tidings, yet tidings through a declaration of Christ. I told you that all this, of what we're studying in Paul's gospel, is based on the declaration that Christ gave Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, verse 18, but I am saying, do they not hear at all? Is there no one who actually hears this message? Do we have reason to be completely discouraged and to give up and to think that we're all alone, nobody understands? Paul says, no. For one thing, quoting scripture now, into the entire earth came out their utterance, and into the ends of the inhabited earth their declarations. In other words, these things that we put out, the truth that you give out and you want a ear to hear it, you're talking to your family, to your friends, your coworkers, they don't hear it, the word still goes out. And as the scripture says, that which comes out, a true word, a pure word from Christ through you, will not return void. It may return void to your appearance, to your experience in the immediate, as you sit there trying to get people to understand it and they give you that blank stare. It seems to be returning void, but it is being marked. Your word, your effort, it's not about success, it's about effort. It's not about success. How much success did Paul have in his day? The man died not even knowing whether his second letter to Timothy got there. The man died lonely. People had forsaken him. Everybody in Asia that he meticulously and heart-wrenchingly tried to take the gospel to, they appeared to get it. Maybe they did, but they left it. They left him. Very discouraging. Look what has resulted over 2,000 years. Yeah, 3,000 subscribers here at MZTV. Well, yeah. But how many over the years have received Paul? So we'll see how, you'll really see what you've done at the dais of Christ. So into the entire, this also harkens back, into the entire earth came their utterance, harkens back to Romans 1, that the word of God, that God's power is known through his creation. Verse 19, but am I saying, did not Israel know at all? Always this question, who's getting it? Who's getting it? Why aren't we seeing results? Look at this. But I am saying, did not Israel hear at all? For Moses is saying, Deuteronomy 32, 21. This is a reference to that. I shall be provoking you to jealousy over those not a nation. Oh my God, there it is. I will be provoking you to jealousy over those not a nation. When he says not a nation, it doesn't mean they're not an organized body of people of one nationality. It just means that they're not a nation of the status of Israel. Israel was the most famous nation on the earth, even though they were the smallest, because even the surrounding nations knew that God is with those people. I will be provoking you to jealousy. And now Paul's going to get into detail about that jealousy in chapter 11. Then he goes on, Moses does, over an unintelligent nation shall I be vexing you. Ooh, it was humiliating enough for Israel to hear that they will be provoked to jealousy over those not a nation, that is, over those with no reputation. Now they're coming to find out that those people who are not a nation are actually quite stupid. Well, it says, over an unintelligent nation shall I be vexing you. This corresponds with Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that those of the body, those being called, are generally unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. We might add unintelligent, which I suppose is a synonym for stupid. Yet Isaiah is very daring. Paul's going on here. This is Paul in verse 20. Isaiah, quoting Isaiah again, is very daring, even more daring than Moses? Apparently so. He's saying this, I was found by those who are not seeking me. I became disclosed, there's the key, to those who are not inquiring for me. These are the unintelligent nations. They're so unintelligent that they're not seeking God. They're watching YouTube videos of cats licking their asses and dogs knocking things over and babies shitting themselves. All the great stuff people like to watch on YouTube, including me, I got to admit. So this is the miracle of God going outside Israel, but it's hinted at here. It's being hinted at. Paul has recourse in the scripture. Can you imagine Paul reading Isaiah, reading Deuteronomy, and one day it dawns on him that, OMG, this is me. OMG, I am fulfilling this scripture. Over an unintelligent nation shall I be vexing you. When Moses wrote that, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know that Israel was going to reject their Messiah eventually. Moses probably figured, yeah, they probably will. They're rejecting me. They're stiff-necked and stubborn. They'll probably reject the Messiah when he shows up. Sure enough. But what he could not have known is that Israel would be temporarily put on hold and that a new message of no law, no baptism, no circumcision would go out to an unintelligent people and that they would get it. They would understand it. They had no pride, they had no arrogance, they had no self-respect, basically, but they were given. See, I became disclosed because God revealed to them. It has to be an active work of God or you'll never get it in any way. So God, first it said, I was found by those who are not seeking me. This is Isaiah. I was found by those not seeking me. It sounds like it's to the credit of the people. They found me. But then the truth comes in the next verse. That's the relative perspective. The absolute is I became disclosed. God disclosed himself. He was closed and then he became disclosed. In other words, he opened himself. When he does that, you can't help but get it. And we know from our Lord in Matthew 13 that he purposely did not give for some people to understand the truth. I have a cross reference here to Romans 9 verse 30. I always love this verse. The nations, this is Romans 9:30. This is corroborating Romans 10:20. Romans 10:20, I was found by those not seeking me. That's Romans 10:20. Romans 9:30 says, the nations who are not pursuing righteousness overtook righteousness. They're not pursuing righteousness. Why? Because they have no hope. They have no expectation of God to be righteous. So they're just rolling around in their own slop. They're doing barrel rolls in the pigsty. But those not pursuing righteousness overtook righteousness. Why? Because it was disclosed to them by God. Yet it is a righteousness out of faith. Ho, ho! It's not a righteousness that works hard on being righteous. It is a righteousness out of faith. That is, it is a righteousness that believes God. who says you are righteous, says you are righteous, in spite of you doing barrel rolls in the mud of the pigsty. Yet Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, that is, anxiously hoping to be good and doing everything they can to do it themselves, into a law of righteousness does not outstrip. That is, they don't beat the nations. The nations actually beat Israel. They beat Israel's ass because they're not pursuing it. How ironic is that? The whole thing is crazy. The whole thing, you just have to wonder, is God the most creative artist in the world? Yeah, he is. Now, to Israel, he is saying, God is saying, the whole day I spread out my hands to a stubborn and contradicting people. That's the last verse of Romans chapter 10. Yeah, now we're going back to the relative perspective. The whole day, this is basically channeling our Lord in wherever he said it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find it. I stretch out my arms to you all day, yet you're a stubborn and contradicting people. But now, it's suggested here, even in Israel's old writings, that God is going to take people who are even more stubborn and more contradicting, who don't have a hope of attaining righteousness, so they're not even seeking it. He's going to disclose himself to them. It's kind of like our Lord. Where does he get his most satisfaction when he's on earth? The centurion, the Roman dude who says, you don't even have to come put your hands on my son or whatever. I just know that if you just say the word, my son will be healed. Jesus is freaking out. Mind's blown. This is a person of the nations. He says, in another place, I've not even found this much faith in Israel. He finds a Samaritan woman by the well, an outcast, a dirty woman of the hated Samaritans. She says, yeah, sounds to me like you're the Messiah. Goes out and tells all her friends. God loves to be honored by these nobodies, by people in the nooks, in the crannies of life. We are among those people. And it was prophesied of us. It was hinted at here in Deuteronomy, in Isaiah, that God would be vexing Israel. And we're going to find out in Romans 11 what that results in. Is the jealousy going to work? Is Israel being provoked by idiots like us who are racing ahead of them in the revelation department? Are they going to become so jealous that something's going to happen with them? We shall soon see.